Welcome back to Cargumentative, a Times Live podcast where we discuss all things cars and motoring. I'm your host, Thomas Faulkner from the Sunday Times, and as usual, I'm joined by...
Sean Causton, producer of Ignition GT.
And Putin Biani, writer at Business Day Motor News, and general petrosexual.
Petrosexual.
The petrosexual.
Yeah.
It's oozing out of your pores.
Yeah,
today.
You can see it. Hey.
You can see, I mean...
You can see it in you.
You can't see it, but we can. Putin is dressed like a Parisian. He's oozing French flair.
With bright blue pants.
And a bright contrasting watch strap.
Thomas, do not expose my hangout places, you know what I mean?
It's incredible.
You should be happy this is Cargumentative, not Ignition GT. You should be very happy.
You look like a Citroën brand ambassador.
Yeah, because they are very good cars, actually.
They are.
Yeah.
No one will buy them.
Yeah.
But they're still good cars. Guys, it's the beginning of the show, and as usual, that's time for news. Anything been happening on your radars that's worth talking about?
I actually want to talk about something.
Yeah. Right?
I don't know if you guys seen it in the news lately.
Yeah.
It's the prime example that money doesn't buy you brains.
Yeah.
Have you seen the scam that's going around that they've been stealing people's supercars?
Is this because of the whole...
They're saying there's a recall.
Oh, the recall scam.
And they've literally been coming. You see pictures. There's like Lamborghini Uruses and Ferraris, everything on the back of a trailer. And they're literally taking it. And there was a picture of the one, there was 812 Superfast that got like the front fender dinged at the Mozambican border.
What?
Oh, really? Was that part of one of those?
That was one.
Scams?
So they jacked a 812 Superfast, and you can see the whole side fender is completely...
I saw that, actually.
Yeah, that's part of the scam. So they're scamming these rich people into giving them their cars, and they're just taking it across border.
That's incredible. But I mean, I can kind of imagine these people getting hold of PA. Because the man who owns it,
the woman
who owns it, you know, he doesn't deal with this kind of stuff. The PA does. And the PA is like, yeah, okay, that sounds
cool,
legit.
Yeah, no, it's just like, no, who's taking my Ferrari? Why? I wouldn't do it.
No, that's a bit ridiculous, because what I do know is if you have the kind of cash to buy a 812 super fast, you are not going to allow anyone, let alone touch it.
Mm.
So if there is a recall... I don't know. If I was a guy, I'd be like, hold my meetings. I'm taking my car in.
Exactly.
How did that?
Exactly why I go back. Money does not buy you brains, guys. Money does not buy you brains. Yes, come. No, sure. Take my Urus on a flatbed. That's okay. Chill.
Yeah, it's cool.
Don't care.
Yeah.
It's chill.
It's just a recall, guys. No, it's fine. It's just going to get a new chip put in. It'll be back tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, meanwhile.
Kudos to the crims. I mean,
I know.
It's pretty
smooth.
Smooth criminals. I mean, it's pretty
say
ballsy.
It, but they actually deserve it then.
It's very inventive.
Yeah, it really
is. African criminals are...
It's really
the most
crazy.
Creative people out there.
Yeah, like Ferrari's like on high alert, like telling all their customers, like, please, 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 there's no recall. Like, calm down.
Drive your own car.
Yeah, like literally take it to our dealership. You probably all live in that area anyway. So,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Yeah, I found that quite interesting. I was like, that's a bit weird.
Well, speaking of Ferrari, I don't know if you guys saw, they've launched their new 2020 Formula One Challenger, the SF. 1000. That always sounds like sunblock to me, but it's cool. I always get confused. I'm like, SPF. Anyway, SF 1000. It's got to do with the 1,000th race.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first one of the year will be the Ferrari's 1,000th Formula One
race.
So hence its name.
Mm-hmm.
It's very red. To me, it looks exactly the same as last year's car.
Exactly the same.
They say it's not. They say under that skin, it's a completely different animal. And they seem very confident that it's going to stop Mercedes this year, which is what they said last year.
Yeah. They first need to sort out the internal politics between their drivers.
Lots of politics.
Yeah, lots of politics.
Huge.
Between, what's his name, Vettel and Leclerc.
Yeah.
A lot of politics. So I think they first need to sort that out before they look at... Because their car, the Ferrari's always the fastest. They always had the most power, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, especially in the hot tracks. They didn't have that power loss.
Yeah, like the Mercedes did. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, to me it's exactly the same. I don't know what they're doing. I heard there's going to be huge regulation changes from 2021.
Yeah, there are.
They're, I think, 18-inch rims.
they're now going, they're having to fit the car with, instead of, I think they're running with 13, 14s.
Yeah.
Now it has to go up to 18 inches.
Do not be surprised with my quietness. Yeah, I'm not a fan
of Ferrari.
I'm not a fan of these new Formula One cars. Gee, the hybrids. Oh my gosh.
It's probably been the worst era.
You missed the V12.
Yeah, I think everybody does. Yeah. I mean, that was an era where, like, you could, where you know, you had V8s, you had V10s, you had V12s. Bring that back. Bring it back. Where, you know, upstarts had V8s, Ferrari had V12s. There was that differentiation between the brands with
exactly,
engines.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's what they need to do. They really do.
The 90s. Take it back to the early 90s. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of early 90s. Racing on YouTube just because it was such a cool era, you know,
and probably because you didn't have Formula One broadcast that much in those years.
Exactly.
Now with the internet,
exactly,
can catch up,
can catch up.
But then the question is, can anyone catch Hamilton?
I don't know. Like, it's an interesting debate. You know, a lot of people say that he's always had the best car, which I don't know. Maybe the last couple of seasons he has had the best car.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's no denying that he's extremely talented. Mm. But how much of that, you know, factors down to the machine? And I think the same could have been said of the Schumacher era.
Mm. Yes.
Schumacher always kind of had the best car, his name, the sponsors behind him. You know, he always had the best machines at his disposal.
Yeah.
Not immediately when he moved to Ferrari, but once that got, you know, founded and everything was.
That's how. Yeah, because this was his sixth world championship. One
it's
more,
crazy.
And he's tied with Schumacher.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, no matter the what you think of Lewis Hamilton, he is going to go down as one of the greatest drivers of all time.
Definitely.
Like, there's no doubt about it.
Without a doubt. He's a couple of races away from matching Schumacher's all-time wins, more than just the championships.
Yeah.
Probably within before the middle of the year, he probably would have beaten Schumacher's record.
Yeah. Shame. It's but it does come down to the cars. 100% comes down to the car.
Yeah.
I mean, look at Ricciardo. He was doing fantastic things, and he moved to Renault, and now he's like hovering 10th, like 7th,
like middle of the pack.
Yeah. So. I think it comes down to the cars. But it would be nice, just for purely per spectator sport, Hamilton can't win. Just there needs to be someone else.
It's got to be something
There
else.
Has to be a battle.
Do you know what's fascinating? How we just began this with Ferrari. You spoke about people getting their Ferraris stolen. And then Tom went into...
I segued nicely into Formula One.
The Ferrari thing. And my story for the week also is about Ferrari.
Did we plan this, guys?
Are you
sure? Can we sit down and plan this?
Absolutely. On the
serendipitous.
Road. Yeah.
Huh?
Nah. You guys know about that new Ferrari SUV.
Parasite.
Hold on. Can I do you one favor? I knew you were going to have this problem.
I see Ferrari's actually suing a charity because
that is the story. However.
Are you serious?
This is how you pronounce the name. Let's see. Hope this can catch it. Huh?
Puro sangue. Puro sangue.
Puro sangue.
Wanna play the game?
Yeah.
There we go.
Puro sangue. Puro sangue.
Puro sangue.
It's not a very nice name.
it doesn't roll off the tongue.
Yeah.
Interesting. But yes, obviously the story, the big story now is, it is official.
Yeah.
However, Ferrari is suing.
Yeah.
It's a charity foundation.
Yeah.
Because this is gonna sound funny, has not made sufficient commercial use of the name to warrant exclusivity.
Hmm. They make a point. I mean, did they trademark it? Did they cop? I don't know how this works, but
But they don't say that it's trademarked. You see, if it was trademarked, yes, you
could
say.
Yeah.
However, I mean, not using your trademark. So clearly, they must have trademarked this name, and now Ferrari is saying we'd like for them to not use that name because they have not used it sufficiently. So you trademark something, you don't use it for 5 years, somebody comes in and says I've got the same name, a brand, but I don't think that you should have a problem with it because you haven't used it in 5 years.
Yeah, I think Ferrari's just trying to be an arsehole, aren't they?
They're very good at that, Ferrari.
Yeah, they're just trying to be like, no, it's our name, I don't care, we came up with it. Like, what is it even? I completely forgot how it's even pronounced now.
Yep. Puro sangue.
That one as well. So, like, what does it mean? What does it mean?
It's Italian for pangolin.
Aren't they the reason for coronavirus?
I think they are. I think
they need to change that. Yeah. They need to change that.
Yeah. Now, that is definitely the news that caught my eye this week.
Well, that is a ridiculous name. There's another strange name that's just come out. Nikola, the electric vehicle startup.
Yeah.
They're going after Rivian and Tesla and Hummer with another electric pickup truck. They've called it the Badger. I don't know. That's not a very nice name. It's like, and it's kind of has kind of quite sexual undertones. Like,
get your mind out of the gutter.
And nice badger.
As far as I know, a badger is an animal that you find in the wild. And buckies live in the wild, I suppose, you know?
Yeah.
I think they hired the same person who does Hyundai's namings. Like, what on earth goes on?
It's really not good.
No.
Anyway, the Badger is coming out in September 2020. It's going to be unveiled. And there's a battery electric version or a fuel cell electric version.
Yeah.
And they're saying 900 k's of range on a charge, 670 kilowatts of power, incredible towing power.
That's going to be interesting. That's really going to be interesting. When is Tesla going to release their Cybertruck? Did they give any indication?
I can't remember. They have to sort out the windows first.
Yeah.
That was a problem.
That's the problem. Yeah.
So as soon as Elon and the boys have sorted that out, it'll probably be out and
I don't know, guys. Am I the only one who sees the problem with electric buckies here? I mean,
I just see a problem with electric everything. It's just like this short-term, like this frantic rush to come up with something that's sustainable, inverted commas.
Yes,
because it's not. Because as soon as you strip away all the happy green, you know, zero emissions nonsense, the stuff that comes out of the ground to make the batteries, it's terrible.
Exactly.
It's
equally as harmful to the environment.
If not worse, and is more finite than oil and coal. But
I agree with you. And you're still reliant on the power stations to provide you with that electricity. So
exactly.
That's why I think Toyota with their Mirai, the hydrogen fuel cell.
I'm with you. The hydrogen
I
fuel
think
cell.
That's a really good avenue to actually get adventure into. Like, really. It's expensive, though.
It's expensive, and the storage of hydrogen can be problematic. But but that's another conversation for another day. Producer Paige is whipping her hands around in a frantic, signal, saying wrap it up. We're going to have a quick break, and we'll be back shortly. Welcome back to Cargumentative. Now, a lot of you guys out there, you dedicated listeners, have been asking us to have another second-hand car challenge. You know, they're very popular. My mom likes them. So I thought, Valentine's Day, the month of love, let's have a challenge where we can kind of work that into the fray. So challenges, we've all got 200,000 Rand burning a hole in our pockets. We had to go out and buy a used car that we can use to impress a girl on a first date.
Very interesting.
It's got to impress, gents. And like, you don't have to use the whole 200,000 K.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Can save some money for the dinner.
Exactly. Or the breakdown. Or the parts.
Okay, I've got one.
Okay,
this
cool.
is right up your alley, Tom.
Yeah.
Right up your alley.
All right.
Toyota 86.
Brilliant, great car. But why?
Because
it's nice and low.
It's nice and low. It looks there. Yeah. Chances are she probably won't know too much about cars. I know I'm stereotyping them anyway. Yeah. But it looks low slung. It looks good. Mm-hmm. It doesn't really have the shove to match, but she doesn't. It won't really matter.
Yeah.
And you can easily pick them up for 200K now.
So basically, it's a car that seems exotic.
Exactly.
To the outside, but it isn't. It's affordable.
But the thing is, it's all about impressing. And you impress by looks. And to me, that 86... Or you could look at like a Golf 6 GTI. But then it'll get stolen that night anyway, so it doesn't
you'll
matter.
You'll have to Uber home.
Yeah, you'll have to Uber home anyway. So, 86.
86 is a good car.
86, yeah.
What do you think of that choice?
Gee, I'm stumped. Yeah. And 86.
It's just because you know what it is. You know it's very slow.
Yeah, you just... that doesn't
but
matter.
But it's still fun. It's still a fun car to drive. And the girl might like it. She'll be like, hey, this is...
If there's one thing that I know that girls like is space.
They like space.
Yeah, they don't like to be cramped. You know, they need space for their handbags,
and all the paraphernalia.
You know what I mean?
Goes along with
so
being a,
your car there just doesn't cut it when it comes to that. I don't know how she's going to be impressed with having to have her handbag sit in the boot because it won't fit with her.
Well, what is she bringing? I mean, are we bringing like a hiking a bag?
We're just going for dinner, buddy.
Are you going away for a romantic weekend?
Yeah. It's so claustrophobic, man. Yeah.
But isn't that nice? Isn't that what you want?
You want to be close.
You want that intimacy.
Oh, okay. All right.
Valentine's Day. Okay. How long have you been married?
I haven't been married yet. Sorry.
These are the signs.
Is it because I haven't bought a GT86?
Yes,
exactly. It's because you haven't bought an SCR. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't choose that.
Also, the back seat's not very usable, if you know what I mean.
What back seat?
The back seat for the handbag, perch.
Yeah. What else were you thinking with the back seat?
No. We should move along from that horrible idea of a Toyota 86 and go into my.
Okay, what did you find?
Perfect.
Yeah. You dug through Gumtree and Auto Trader.
Can I show you guys? You can get impressed.
Did you even bring a printout?
Yes, I had. I've got a whole printout.
Yeah.
And it even cost less than 200,000. Please tell Falcon, what the ultimate Valentine's car is.
I can see it. Where are you going in this car? To Volcom?
Bruh.
Is she from Volcom?
One.
Brackman,
I don't care who says what. A V8 sounds internationally beautiful to everyone.
That is true. It's the international language of love. Is that what you're saying?
It's a V8. V for is Valentine's 8.
V can stand for a lot of things.
She's going to rock up in that lucky and she's going to ask you where your Hilux is.
I'm sorry, but for me, I found a Chevrolet Lumina just as the ultimate in terms of how to impress a girl on Valentine's. One, it looks awesome.
It does look awesome.
Okay, I'll give you that. It does look awesome. Good. It does,
right? I like the fact that you chose an 86 because of the whole sports car thing. Mm-hmm. Two-door. This is also two-door, but there's space. It can just fit a handbag. It can fit much more in the cabin of a Lumina. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that space, you have an entire load bed that you can use for a variety of things on Valentine's Day.
You could.
Could.
You know
you
what I mean?
You could even put a mattress in the
car. There we go. That's it.
Stargazing.
Absolutely.
Imagine you could go to a drive-in if they still exist, and you can just
reverse
park it
in there.
You know,
you got a mattress and pillows.
And you got some snacks in the back.
You've got pecan bites because they're red and it's Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And spicy.
I have thought this out through. This is a good plan. Worse still, if whatever you've done, the comfort, the drive-in, and she's still not impressed, I can always drift it.
You can just do that. You can just do.
I can drift in my 86. That's what the car's made for.
You need God to drift an 86.
I know a certain American who drifted one for, I don't know, like hours.
Yeah.
8 hours or something ridiculous.
Stamina.
Is it?
Yeah.
Was he also provided with a constant gush of water?
Yes, he was.
To be able to do that.
Yes, he was.
Okay.
Okay, question. What are you going to do with that Lumina afterwards? Because it's just going to sit and break down and charge you about, 200 rand a kilometer?
Not that bad. If it's an automatic, it's got cylinder deactivation, which means it'll go down to, I think it's 6 cylinders. Was it 4 cylinders?
Unfortunately, I chose the manual because that's the better one as far as I'm concerned.
You like the manual?
It's easier to drift the manual.
Mm.
Yeah. You know, but hey, even if it breaks down, that's all right. I have a Lumina. How many people can
cool
say
car.
They have? It's a cool car
it
to just
cool
look
car.
At, even when it's broken down. You know,
I agree with you. It is. It's a great car. It's
fantastic.
Really cool.
How much was this Lumina, by the way?
This one is 189,000 rand. So that leaves me with about 10 grand to buy the Doritos.
Yes, you can really go to town on
you
the.
You can
the,
go to town on the snacks.
Know.
I can get more blue pants.
You can get a pass of Woolworths food stop even.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
You don't have to.
And
yeah.
the fuel,
cranberries.
And the fuel as well. Definitely needs.
quite a lot
refuel.
Of those.
A lot of fuel.
Definitely does.
Quite a lot of those.
So is that the facelifted version with the 6 liter?
Yeah, this is the one with the 6 liter. That is very nice.
What kind of Ks are we looking at here?
This one here has done only about 184,000.
Okay, so it's just breaking in, huh?
It's just breaking in.
just breaking
perfect.
That's the thing with those V8s. They can go on forever.
Forever and ever.
For 180,000. Okay. Yeah. I'm impressed. And I'm actually quite surprised.
You didn't think of the Lumina?
I did not think of you rocking up today and putting a Lumina down on the table.
Perfect Valentine's Day car, that.
Okay. Well, okay, so I've read The Game, that terrible book that came out in the 2000s. And before I threw it out the window, annoyed at it, it taught me that girls like things that, you know, they're kind of like magpies. They like shiny things and, you know, interesting,
like silver luminous
bobs, accessories. So for me, I had to go on and find something that has peacock appeal, you know.
Okay. So what I found
is a 1990 Porsche 944 S2. Now I chose this car because A, it has a soft top. Okay, girls like that novelty factor. B, it's one of the last cars to ever have flip-up lights. That's also very cool. And C, it's a left-hand drive, which also just adds to like the whole like sensory overload. It might be the most unattractive modern Porsche. It really is not a looker.
Awesome is your newer Porsche.
Yeah, exactly.
This is the 944.
944 Cabriolet. S2 Cabriolet.
That's the weird one.
It looks very weird. It's not a good looking. It's a fugly looking car.
It's a boxy looking kind of.
Like the 944 looks good as a coupe. Looks awesome. But as a convertible, never really worked for me. But it's got all these cool things. All these, like, you know, weird automotive.
Will you start with breaking his heart?
What?
No, please, go ahead.
Shall I go ahead?
Yeah, please, enjoy yourself.
One, Thomas Falconer. Girls and cabriolets. Yeah. It might sound like a good idea.
Yeah.
But you know how sensitive they are with their hair.
That's true.
All right.
Yeah.
How do you deal with that, for starters? I mean, she spent 2 hours preparing her hair to go out with you.
You can give her.
You arrive with a car that's going to untangle all of that.
It's all gone.
And she's going to come out of the house. Yeah. She's going to try to set it next when she's sitting on your lap because you're on the wrong side of the bloody road.
Exactly.
I'll come into the other point.
Exactly.
Left-hand drive.
Yeah, it's cool.
I'm sorry. I don't know. Do you know that girls are among the most easily scared species?
Yeah.
Now, how do you expect you to be comfortable sitting on the wrong side with oncoming traffic as if it's coming to her?
It's an interactive experience because she becomes part of the driving experience. I say, is it safe to overtake? She says yes or no. Then I can do it. Also, when we go, you know, to the restaurant or the movies or whatever it is, she has to take the tickets and, you know, it becomes this fun game, fun interactivity.
So you also want it to work for you. Okay. Yeah. I get you.
Exactly.
Okay, let's settle this, guys. Yeah. Let's settle this. So we've got three single men talking about what they think women want.
Yeah.
Producer Paige.
Exactly.
Producer Paige.
But bear in mind that my car only costs 89,000 rand. So I've got a heck load of change there.
Yeah.
It's a Porsche.
To be able to buy more data and try and nail another date.
Because it's going
to
break
down. So producer Paige needs to come in here, and three cars, she needs to tell us which one she would like to be picked up on Valentine's Day with.
The left-hand drive car.
First off, the magpie thing.
Let's unpack that. Huh? Girls are like magpies. They're intrigued by things.
If I know one thing about girls, it's that they like space. The hair, Booty, you're on point there. That's going to be a problem for you. You've lost on that alone. You don't know what kind of girl you got.
What if I gift her like a really nice silk, like Jackie O scarf? And I say, open up the cubbyhole. And then she opens it up.
Where
and
in South Africa, it's more likely going to be a swell ghost.
I don't know what that is.
I'm thinking... Okay, you see, but I'm not a car girl. There are car girls. So I think Sean had it right.
Toyota 86.
And Pootsie had it right. And that I'm easily scared. I might not know you so well. I don't want to be hitting out like 200 kilometers an hour. So that mixed up with Sean looks good, but he's not going to be able to hit up 200 miles an hour. Maybe. But you guys seemed pretty convinced by Pootsie's car.
Aha, because so, that car
I
makes
mean,
sense.
He came up here with that big D energy, you know what I mean?
Big D energy.
Big P.
I just said
big
that
P
himself.
With the big D energy.
That big D energy, and I feel like you guys are behind him. So if I were a car girl, maybe I might be behind that decision.
Whoa!
So it's just because you come from Boxburg, and you secretly
you
do like it. Yeah.
I do this like the fact that he sense. Could drift in it. Like, yeah. She's I would
and the
be
fact
impressed.
That it's a Bucky.
Guys.
I would ask about the Hilux, though. Sean was yeah, right, and that killed me. That was hilarious.
Yeah, where's your
oh,
Hilux?
Oh, gosh, I died. But he did have more interactive thoughts around what you could do with his car.
Uh-huh.
But how interactive
and that just makes me think, what else does he have interactive thoughts about?
Many
on
things.
Valentine's
he's looking
Day.
For space in the back of a car. I'm going to take you out for dinner, hotel. Not in the back of a Bucky.
Bruh, you know what? It's all good. You think of these fancy things. But come down to earth. That's where it really works.
Talking about Valentine's Day, guys. It's got to be romantic somehow.
Exactly.
Producer Paige,
Putty, you won.
Thank you.
So,
you
won. So what? I got no love for my 80s Porsche.
Give us a shit. I'm sorry.
No.
Come on, guys.
No, I'll give
that's
you the cool. kudos on the
come
Porsche
on.
Brand.
It's fun. It's got flipped up headlights.
Is that
that's
so?
Cool.
And you're going to have to explain that to
exactly.
her.
Exactly. It's awesome. She'll be like, wow, what are those?
So you want a car that's going to compete with her on eyelashes. Okay, great.
Yeah,
this is how you roll, Tom.
It is, huh? Self-sabotage. Been doing it since 1983. Okay, guys, so to wrap up, I guess, Pooty, yours is the chosen
one. You're the
winner.
Yeah.
Sean is a close second. And
you're stone dead last, Tom. Sorry, Tom.
As usual, stone dead last.
Just to make sure people remember, that is a Lumina, Chevrolet Lumina SS, the Ute. That is the winner. Best Valentine's Bucky with a big Valentine's 8. Angel.
Yeah.
And you got to go to the east to find a girl then.
East is the beast.
Uh-huh.
The Wicked Witch of the east or the west? Which one was it?
I don't know what's worse.
Anyway.
This has been a segment of stereotyping like we cannot
believe.
Big time.
But that's what we all about here, Cardiomancer. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with you guys shortly. Welcome back to Cargumentative. Guys, it's that part of the show where we talk about what we've been driving and the amazing launches that we've been wined and dined on over the last week. I know I haven't been on any launches this year. I'm part of the C team.
I see.
Not a journalist list, so I stay in the office. But Pooty, you've probably been out and about.
No, not really. I'm actually going to start being out and about.
Yeah.
Starting with Triber on Valentine's Day.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Preparing for all the five children. All the five children. You're planning ahead. You are planning ahead, Pooty.
What is this Triber? It sounds like a Tribeca knockoff.
No. Odd enough, the... Mm. I think it's a cool name. The Triber, it sort of brings imaginations of some jungle out there, you know, a
finding
rugged
lost
car.
Tribes,
that kind of thing. But when you actually look at it and you're thinking, is that a 7-seater Quid?
Literally, at least it's a little bit safer.
So it's kind of like a Datsun Go Plus.
Pretty much. Yeah,
so it's quite interesting. Not necessarily my type of car. I'm not sure in terms of seating for now. Five or seven, I'm not sure. We'll see on Valentine's Day. However, I think it's a brilliant move on the part of Renault.
Yeah.
If you look at the success of the Quid, it's one of the best-selling cars every month ever since. And so I'm thinking, how many other people out there actually want something as cheap but can carry more people?
So when you crash, more people die because of the terrible safety specs.
Well, I've always said that to avoid such things, just don't crash, you know?
Yeah.
You know, to
sometimes
avoid
it's not up to you. It's not like, you know what, I'm not going to crash today because I crashed yesterday. I'm not going to do that. Like,
Come on, guys.
No, but that Triber, I mean, it's going to sell numbers. It really will. It will sell
definitely
numbers.
Yeah.
We don't know pricing yet. Obviously, it's still to be launched.
Yes.
But, 7-seater, Renault, it's just, it's going to sell.
Yeah.
There's competition, BRV from Honda.
Yeah.
And Rush, not really, because it's not a seven-seater.
Mm.
And what else? What else is in that in the segment?
Sort of MPV type of small MPV. There's the Avanza.
Yeah, Avanza's quite a bit bigger. So is the Suzuki Ertiga.
What's the Life? What is that thing called? Not the Life. The Zest. The Swift. No, not the Swift. I can't keep up all
these Combo names. Life you're thinking of from Opel.
No. It was something else. The Rush.
Yeah, but that's it's a five-seater. It's not a seven-seater.
Oh, yeah, it's a seven-seater. Okay.
Yeah. It's available internationally as a seven-seater. Not here in South Africa. It's five-seater.
Triber. There's a picture of the Triber. It actually looks quite nice, but I mean, you know, photographs lie.
Yeah,
as Tinder
you see.
Will.
Yeah. It's that Tinder problem. Yeah.
Okay. So you're going on that?
Yeah, I'll be on that.
Okay.
And I think, what else? What nothing, else? In fact, nothing.
Mm-hmm. You haven't been driving anything? Nothing
yeah,
nice?
Yeah.
You've got to pick one.
I had just one, not
yeah,
two.
Yeah.
Jesus, I don't know which one to pick. You know, they're both so regular. but I think I'm going to go with the Haval H2.
Because
I think that's quite topical. One of the bigger selling cars in South Africa.
Yeah, over 7,000 units they've sold since they've come
in. So and I think for me, what's really interesting is I asked myself, is okay, fine. If I could afford something with a more prestigious brand with the same outlook as a Haval, would I buy a Haval?
Mm-hmm.
And I got myself thinking, no. So the question is, why are people buying Havals? And then it just made me realize, it's the craze of the SUV. People want SUV, no matter the risk, no matter what. They have to have an SUV. And Haval has hit it with this thing that just is an SUV sort of trending at such a very affordable price.
You don't think it's just because people want a new car, and that's why people buy Datsun Go's and quits. Mm. It's like, well, it's new.
It's desperation, out of having to have an SUV, but also economically and financially.
Yeah.
Literally, it's the same outlook between the Kwid and the Haval in that people who buy the Kwid, they want a car. Mm. Whether it's French or Japanese or German, it doesn't matter. Mm. It's about affordability. The same as this Haval. Mm. There are people who truly want to ramp up their social standings and only an SUV can do that, and Haval is giving them this. It's what, 300,000 rand.
Mm. No, it's very good value. The engine is not great in that. Really, is not great in that. But yeah, I get why people buy it. I 100% get why people buy it. And Haval as a brand is just growing and growing and growing. There'll be more dealerships. There'll be more products coming their way. I've driven all the latest Haval products when I was in China, and like really, they really moving on.
Either way, I don't want to spend time on it. What are you driving?
You guys have had the rub of the green lately. Finally, it's my turn.
Uh-huh.
So, what I'm driving, there's two cars. What I'm driving right now is the AMG GT63 four-door. Ooh. We've already spoken about it, so I won't go too much into detail about it. Mm-hmm. But, holy crap. It's quick. It's seriously, seriously, seriously quick. But it doesn't fulfill the GT part of the name that well. Rides way too firm. The interior rattles.
And really?
Look, literally, it's rattling in my car. It's rattling. But it's stupidly quick. But I don't think it's as complete of a package as a Porsche Panamera. My money, that's where I go. I'll go the Sport Turismo with a wagon. Yeah. Panamera, get the turbo, and I will be smiling for days. And
that car's brilliant.
So this is the third AMG that's come from purely AMG.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it ticks so many boxes, as we've discussed.
A lot of the feeling is like they've made this big car that's really good around the track. I mean, I was speaking to Marius Roberts about it yesterday, and he said, around the track, excellent. But as an everyday, like GT,
it's just
way too hot.
It's just not comfortable enough. It really isn't. So anyway, yeah, that's cool. My money, 100% Porsche Panamera, if I had to do that. Second car, which is another performance car, but a completely different performance car, BMW X3 M40D.
Wow.
Oh, don't go there.
Okay, I know I'm going to sound like a complete BMW fanboy because I gave the M340i a glowing review, but my word, is this car brilliant.
Yeah.
My word, it is brilliant. The torque is just, there's power anywhere, accessible, anywhere in that range, anywhere.
Grab with it.
Yeah.
Where is the M part in it?
Marketing.
Marketing, looks, and it has enough, more than enough shove. 4.9 seconds to 100.
I don't
more
know.
Than enough shove.
As far as I know, my fellow countrymen who can afford to buy an M because of how it sounds, not of the show, of the talk of a diesel engine.
Yeah, but sound and then actual actions.
But I thought all BMWs had artificial sound, so it doesn't matter. Mm. It's still going to sound like a... Whether you buy a, you know, an M135 or an M40.
But you need to open your mind. Exactly like you told me the other time about the M135i.
Yeah.
Open your mind. It is... I would buy it. 100% see the... I was averaging 9.1 liters per 100 kilometers in a car that makes over 200 odd kilowatts.
You shouldn't be in that BMW if that's your outlook. I think Toyota have a couple of hybrids for you.
But you see, like, you can't beat the diesel sometimes. It just gives you the best of both worlds.
It
you're
is.
Getting like a lot of torque, getting good fuel consumption, you're getting the pace. What more do you really want?
It's
like,
just, it's fantastic.
I don't know.
It's beautiful.
It's been bastardized because of Dieselgate.
Exactly.
But it's still in like real world conditions. It's
no, guys, seriously. I think if seriously you had to buy an X4 M40D and they were not selling the X4 M40i, granted, you could buy it.
I don't know. I prefer that
you
diesel.
Take the petrol over the...
I'll take the petrol over the diesel any day. That's what happens when you want an M-badged BMW.
You see, everything has an M-badge.
Yeah.
Everything.
I think in an SUV, you can get away with the diesel thing. Like in a saloon, maybe not, but I don't know.
Do yourself a favor. Go and drive the M40i and come back and say you'll choose the M40D over that.
Okay. All right. We'll put that out to BMW. They must send me an M40i and then we'll see.
Cool.
But yeah, guys, that car, it's phenomenal.
Good car, huh?
It's phenomenal. Like, really, like, if you had to think, like, you buying this car to drive every day, I would. I would, because I've got the diesel, I've got the fuel economy, I've got a plush ride, I've got a beautifully built cabin, and if I need to move, I can seriously move. Like, seriously. It just makes, to me, it ticks every box for me. Like, it really does. And I know it doesn't fulfill the M part, I 100% agree with you, but it doesn't really matter.
It's too mum. Mum. M is for mum.
Mum.
What have you been driving, Tom?
Well, Sean, you know, because you took it home by mistake.
That wasn't my fault.
I got downstairs and I was like, this car is supposed to be here. And then I SMS'd Donnie and I was like, Donnie, this car is not here. He's like, it's there. I'm like, okay, I'll find it tomorrow. Anyway.
Wait, are you telling me that whole... car scam is happening right here in this
happens. It originated from Ignition TV.
You're scamming
other journalists off the cars.
I'm just trying to not get cuffed. I'm trying to push the blame, guys.
So the BMW M135i.
Oh, you finally drove it.
I finally drove it.
Yeah.
Finally. Have we talked about this car before on the show briefly or not?
Yeah,
yes.
Briefly.
I had it last week.
You had it last week.
Yeah.
Okay. I missed the six-cylinder engine.
Yep.
BMW, what have you done? Like, it had so much character. It was a great engine. Mm. I missed the rear-wheel drive.
Mm.
Like, in the fast hot hatch segment, the 135 used to stand out for being six-cylinder, rear-wheel drive. You could drift it. You could do crazy things in it. It had that hooligan feel to it.
And it sounded like a champion.
It sounded like a champion, and you needed to know what you were doing. It was a car that would easily bite your hands if you took liberties. So it's lost all of that now. It's now just another 2-liter four-cylinder turbocharged hot hatch.
Hmm.
You know, it's like a GTI, it's like an R, it's like an S3. They've all got the same, you know. But it's very easy to drive fast, and it is very fast.
And it is very fast.
You can carry speeds through corners.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it's an impressive car, and it's locked down. The grip and the traction is excellent.
Phenomenal.
I mean, I drove it on Saturday. It was raining cats and dogs.
And you're just going, huh?
And I was going. And I didn't even see the traction control light come on once. I mean, it's that planted. It's really good. And the ride quality I found on that car is superb.
Superb.
Like an S3 is
very
harsh. Harsh, and it feels upset by bumps in the mid-corner. This BMW just soaks it all up. And it's really... impressive considering how big the wheels are.
I'm glad you're saying all of that.
And how slim those little tires are. I mean, these are 35 profiles, and I think it's 19-inch, 20-inch wheels.
Mm. But did you notice the other one great feature about it, which I don't, some people probably it's not important, but for me it is. It's got an electric tailgate, bruh.
Yeah, in the rain. It's
on a little hatch.
I'm serious. I mean, where do you get that? There's no goal for the electric hatch. Just there we go.
It's very civilized. Like, as a day-to-day drive, it's nice. You can stick it into Eco Pro mode. It's averaging just over 10. Great sound system. That Harman Kardon sound system is the best thing I've heard in months.
And the seats
are excellent.
Build quality. BMW build quality. And the finishes.
Yeah.
I mean, the one knife that I stole from you, let's clear that up. BMW delivered it to me mistakenly. And then
you scammed Tom out of a BMW.
I had to walk home that night in the rain.
Anyway, that night that I did take it, it was raining, so I couldn't feel. But like, I agree with you. It's crazy how quick that car is.
It's ridiculous.
Really quick. It is really quick.
I must say, I think my conclusion on that car was BMW took into consideration the people who used to drive, who know the 140, 130, 140. It sort of grew up with them, you know, because seriously, at our age, you know, I don't want to be dealing with oversteer. But it's just sad because now they're forgotten the younger guys who would have been blooded in rear-wheel drive hatches. So to them, it's toughies.
Yeah, that's it, eh?
Toughies, young
guys. But again,
when
you're making a car that fast and that capable, I suppose you want it to be as safe and locked down as you can, because a lot of people just they're not really... You know, they're not a generation of drivers.
Yeah,
like it. They like to go fast, but they don't necessarily have the skills.
The skills to do it. Yes.
So I mean, to wrap it up, great car, nice to look at, very fast, very capable, but just does not have that edge or that USP
that specialness that the old one had,
which is kind of sad.
You know what's really sad? If there are any young people, they don't understand what you're talking about.
Exactly.
But you see, that's the market. That's why they've done it. Because the new generation of buyers won't know what the previous M135i is like. They'll just be like, oh, cool, new M135i that looks hot, drives really fast. Yeah.
So if you want to know, if you're young and you want to know how it feels, go buy a second-hand Chevy Lumina. It'll give you the exact sensation.
And on that ridiculous bombshell, guys, it's time to wrap it up. But thanks for joining me in the show, on the show today. It was good fun having you here.
Absolutely.
Good banter, a couple of laughs, and some seriousness as well. Yeah. You know. And we'll catch you again next week on another show, another edition of Cargumentative. From me, Thomas Faulkner. Keep it safe on the roads.